Well, good morning. My name's Sean Cloakey and I'm the pastor at Trinity Church in Liphook. And it's great to be with you this morning on Good Friday to share with you. Before I do, let me pray. Heavenly Father, help us now as we consider Good Friday and the truth that it teaches. Help us to understand and help us to respond to these rightly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, may he live in interesting times is the curse that we all seem to be living through at the moment. We live in lockdown. Many are sick and dying. Many know the loss of loved ones. Many are worried about their loved ones. These are dark days for our country and for our world. And in the midst of such dark days, some of us will wonder, well, what's the point of celebrating Easter? Don't we have more pressing matters to be getting on with? What relevance does Easter have for today? Well, in the midst of these dark days when fear and worry are all about, I believe it's well worth our time reflecting for a few moments on what Christians often call the darkest day known to man, the day Jesus was nailed to a Roman cross and put to death. Friend, contemplating this dark day, this darkest of days, this brutal miscarriage of justice, we can, strangely, find hope for today in our dark days. And that the first Good Friday was a dark day must surely be clear to all of us. If you were listening to the reading from Mark's Gospel a moment ago, you will have heard the death that Jesus faced. Jesus was crucified, nailed to wood, and hung up to die. But not only that, he was mocked. He was laughed at by those who hated him. Insults were flying at him from all and sundry. But the darkness that engulfs Jesus is not only the darkness of abuse and mockery, it's also the darkness that is supernatural. Mysteriously, the land is covered in darkness for 3 hours, and then at the ninth hour, Jesus cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is a bleak picture. This is not what victory looks like. This looks very much like defeat. But as we think about this darkest day, that first Good Friday, there are three key things that we need to keep in our minds that help us see what is going on more clearly and more powerfully. Firstly, we must see the choice of the cross, the choice of the cross. Now, it's very easy for us as we read Mark 15 to think how sad an end this was. The cutting short of a promising career, a terrible miscarriage of justice. Jesus could have done so much more if he'd only lived, if he had not been put to death. And we see that sort of thinking in our world today, don't we? In popular culture, we have those what if questions. Maybe often, maybe particularly found in the world of the arts. People might talk about what might John Lennon have done if he'd lived, if he hadn't been killed back in 1980? What would Jimi Hendrix have achieved if he hadn't died in 1970? What would Elvis be doing if he hadn't died at just 41? But if we think carefully about Mark's Gospel, and indeed the other Gospel accounts, we can see that we just can't come to the conclusion that the cross was, in fact, the cutting short of a promising career. Instead, we see very clearly from Jesus himself that this death on a cross was very much his choice. Indeed, it was much more his choice than it was the choice of those who put him to death. He tells his followers 3 times that he must suffer many things and be rejected by the religious leaders and be killed. His death is no surprise. He's not caught off guard by it. This is what Jesus chose to do. So as we reflect on Mark 15 and the darkness that pervades these verses that we read, we must have in our minds that Jesus is not there under compulsion. He is not there because he couldn't get away, that he couldn't find an escape route. He's not there because those who opposed him were incredibly crafty and clever and outfoxed him. No, Jesus goes to the cross by choice. And although we may know that as a piece of information, as a fact, it's very difficult, I think, to get our heads around. It's not something that we would instinctively understand for ourselves. Well, to better understand why Jesus chose to go to the cross, we need to see what he is doing as part of God's plan. This is the second thing we need to dwell upon, the plan of the cross. The reason Jesus chooses to go to the cross to die in this way is because this was the plan. This is, in fact, the key fulfillment of God's plan to gather to himself a people. This is clear in Mark's gospel, but it's much more obvious, I suppose, in the gospel of Matthew. Maybe if you've read the opening chapters of Matthew's gospel, maybe you did at Christmas time, you will see there a common refrain that this or that was done to fulfill what the Lord had said through his prophet back in the Old Testament. So Jesus coming into the world is no plan B. He's not coming into the world because God's people are just not cutting the mustard. No, this is God's plan, and it's always been God's plan. Jesus' life was the fulfillment of God's promises. And of course, we could spend a lot of time tracing that theme through the Old Testament scriptures. But for now, as we look at Mark chapter 15, it's clear that this is the case in relation to Jesus' death. Jesus' death is the fulfillment of God's word. Now, that might not be too obvious to you. Mark doesn't highlight each detail with an explanation, saying this fulfills such and such a verse and so on. So how do we know that this narrative of Jesus' death is the fulfillment of God's word? Well, we see this in the words that Jesus speaks when he is on the cross. He says, verse 34, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus is taking as his words the words of King David recorded at the start of Psalm 22. These words written many years before Jesus came into this world are spoken by Jesus as if they are his. Jesus, the true and better king than David, is helping us to see that what David expresses in Psalm 22 was in some sense spoken of him and his death on the cross. But it's not just Jesus' words that tell us this. Mark helps us to see the connections with Psalm 2 by what he records. Firstly, Mark records in verse 24 that Jesus was crucified, that he was nailed to a wooden cross and hung up. And we see that this corresponds with David's words in verse 16 of Psalm 22, where he says that they have pierced my hands and my feet. Again, in verse 24 of Mark 15, we read that Jesus' clothes were divided up and they cast lots for them. David, back in Psalm 22, verse 18, speaks of a very similar event, where his garments are divided and for his clothing they cast lots. If we turn to verses 29 to 32 of Mark 15, we see Jesus insulted and mocked. And when we turn back to Psalm 22, we hear a remarkably similar tone in verses 6 through to 8, where David speaks of being mocked and insulted. Mark is making clear that as Jesus suffers and dies, his death is deeply connected and is the fulfillment of David's song in Psalm 22. God's word spoke of Jesus' death before it ever happened. It was always the plan. That is why Jesus chose to go to the cross. He went to the cross to fulfill God's plan, to fulfill God's word. All of this, of course, begs the question, to what end was Jesus' choice of the cross and God's plan for the cross? Well, we see this in our final heading, the purpose of the cross. The purpose of the cross. Now, when you read a novel or a newspaper article, or maybe when you watch a film, it's often the surprise that jumps out at us, isn't it? We've all read enough stories, seen enough films to guess what is about to happen next. So when a genuine surprise comes up, maybe the twist that explains the whole story in a new light, it sticks with us, doesn't it? and means that we can no longer read that story or watch that film in the same way again. Everything is coloured by that one plot point. And we see such a plot point in verse 38 of Mark 15. The narrative, with no explanation, suddenly shifts from the cross to the temple, and we read that the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And on first reflection, that it seems an odd thing to write down in the middle of the narrative of Jesus' death. Why does it matter what the curtains are up to in the temple? But of course, the curtain in the temple was not merely a matter of interior decoration. The curtain in the temple blocked off God's presence. It was, as one children's book has recently put it, a big keep out sign. It told worshippers that God is holy and pure, and that they could not come into his presence. They were blocked off because of their sin, because of their rebellion against God. As that children's book puts it, because of your sin, you can't come in. But now the curtain has been torn in two. It's no longer a barrier. It tells us that sin has been dealt with, that the way to God has been made open by Jesus' death on the cross. And what this alludes to is that on the cross, Jesus bore the punishment that we deserved for our sin and rebellion. That as he died, the penalty for sin was dealt with. This is why Jesus came. This is why he died. As Jesus himself told his friends in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, he came to give his life as a ransom for many. So because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can know God. We can know God's forgiveness for sin. And we can look forward to life with him forever. That's the good news of Good Friday. That on that dark day, Jesus died, bearing the punishment that we deserved, dying as our ransom on the cross. Well, as you ponder these truths in these dark days, as we each face the reality of our own mortality, as we are freshly confronted with the reality of death on a daily basis, we can, at the cross, on that dark day, find good news if we trust in Jesus and his work on the cross. If we trust in him, we can know forgiveness. We can know hope for life beyond the grave. This is what Jesus chose to do. This is what God's plan was leading to. And this is what the purpose of the cross was. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we ponder the wonderful truths of that dark day of the first Good Friday, as we reflect upon them now and for the rest of today, help us all to understand why Jesus died. Help us to comprehend something of its beauty and its power and its purpose. Help us to understand and help us to respond in faith. Help us to find forgiveness in Jesus this day. We pray this in his name. Amen. Well, thank you very much for logging in to this joint Good Friday service between St. Peter's IPC in Liss and Trinity Church in Lippock. I trust that you found the time helpful, and I pray that you have a good rest of your day. There will be services on Easter Sunday. Please do go to St. Peter's Liss website or the Trinity Church website for more information about those. Thank you.